Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International on this lovely Thursday morning, the 26th of November 2020. The year coming to an end already, 11 months that have passed this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the remainder of the year a good one. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties or challenges that people are facing. On the social program this morning, we will be joined by Maulana Ibrahim Abam. We continue discussing chapters and topics from the book, You Can Be the Happiest Woman in the World, that is written or compiled by Dr. Aid Al-Qarni. In it, you find a treasure chest of reminders, different topics that he looks at. This week, the topic is a great deal of provision comes through seeking forgiveness. We will be discussing this and also discussing forgiveness, the solution to many evils. That is a topic that Maulana Ibrahim Abam will be discussing this morning on the social program. Forgiveness, the solution to many evils. We always love to hear from you on this program. The WhatsApp number 072-786-1548. We do have Maulana Ibrahim Abam with us on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
It's always good to have Maulana with us on the airwaves. How is Maulana doing?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been kind, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue his kindness upon us. Inshallah, we make dua that as we thank Allah ta'ala for his blessings, Allah ta'ala will continue his blessings upon us.
Inshallah. This morning on the social program, an interesting topic that we are discussing with Maulana Ibrahim Baham, certainly a very important topic as well. Maulana, forgiveness, the solution to many evils.
Yes, Maulana, there are two aspects with regard to it. When I looked at the poster and I looked at it and with regard to, and you know, just considered it last night, there are two aspects. One is the aspect of seeking forgiveness from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our sins. And that also is the solution to many of our evils. And together with it being a means of forgiving our sins, and our sins being forgiven, and our sins being washed away, and I will speak a little bit about that. And of course, there's another aspect with regard to it, and that is forgiveness in terms of the wrongs that people have done towards you. I don't know, which one did you have in mind, Maulana?
When I seen the poster and Maulana gave me the topic, I had the second one that Maulana mentioned there in mind, that when we learn to forgive other people, then that certainly removes a lot of our evils in the community, in society, and a lot of the problems that we are facing. But of course, the first one as well, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is something that will remove also the challenges that we face.
No, I think I'll start off with the first one. And I think the reason why, because there's a special reason, there's a specific hadith that I will make mention of during the course of the program to show that seeking of forgiveness and making istighfar, unlike what we are commonly, understand, that is a means of having our sins forgiven. There are many examples in our literature which says that seeking forgiveness is the means of many, many aspects of goodness. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whoever asks Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah will grant him a relief from every distress and a way out from every hardship. You know, so there is reference with regard to it in the Quran, and I will refer to it going ahead. So I'm going to start off by saying that one of the aspects of asking, now why do we seek forgiveness? I think it's a very important thing for us to understand that Allah Ta'ala has kept within us two types of capacities: the capacity to do good and the capacity to do evil. That Allah has kept that capacity in us. فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah Ta'ala says that you've got the capacity, and Allah has kept that capacity, and Allah has given us freedom to do whichever way we want. And the reason why Allah has given us freedom is because that is a test. If there was no ability to do wrong or to choose the option of wrong, there would be no test. There would be no jaza and saza. There would be no recompense and punishment. The reason why there is recompense and punishment, the way there is Allah's forgiveness and Allah's punishment, and there is Jannat and Jahannam, is because of that freedom to be able to do right and wrong. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't stop and catch our hands if we are doing wrong. Right? And this is a reality, and there is many examples of it. وَلَوْ يُعَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ If Allah were to have catch and seize people the moment they do wrong, there would be no one alive in this world. So Allah Ta'ala allows you to do it because it is part of the test. But Allah is not happy with transgression. Allah is not happy with sin. Now Allah Ta'ala, when He gives us that capacity and that, the aspect with regard to it, there is a consequence with regard to that. And one of the consequences is that when we do wrong, it has a tremendous impact upon us. It has an impact upon our physical self. It has an impact upon our spiritual self. It has a tremendous impact upon every aspect of our life. Now, how do we rid ourselves with regard to it? For each and everything, there is a cure. There is a solution. Right? If, for example, you sin, it comes in a hadith that your heart becomes darkened. Right? So your heart becomes darkened. And if you make tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the darkness. And if you do not make tawbah, then the darkness increases until your entire heart is engulfed by darkness and you can't make out the difference between right and wrong. And that is a tremendous spiritual catastrophe, tremendous spiritual harm. Now, how do we get ourselves? Allah ta'ala has given us such a great ability to be able to bring about the change and to be able to save ourselves from that tremendous catastrophe because each and everything that has a problem, there is a solution, and the solution with regard to sin is to make tawbah. At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kama la zamba lah, the one who repents for his sins, it is as if he has not committed sins at all. So when you have committed sins, it takes a possibility and every reason that your heart will become darkened and will continue getting darkened until you do not ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And when you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, that darkness goes away. Allah Ta'ala brings about nur back into your heart and it cures you and it becomes the means of many, many other goodness. So that is a tremendous benefit with regard to the aspect. Now, of course, we all know that there are, we have conditions with regard to it. What are the conditions? You have to, if for example you have done something that is wrong, you have to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. You have to be repentant. You have to show some sort of remorse. If you have done someone else wrong, that you have to ask him for forgiveness. So there are all these particular aspects with regard to it. The main thing is to show regret and to show that you have remorse with regard to the wrong that you have done. So that is one of the aspects with regard to, forgiveness. And and of course, one of the great things is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever so, Allah Ta'ala is ever so forgiving, inclined towards forgiveness. إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ كَرِيمٌ رَحِيمٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفَّ فَعَفُوا أَنَّا Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you are merciful, you love forgiveness. Oh Allah, you forgive us.
Yes, certainly that we, the creation, humanity, at times we will slip up, we will make a mistake, and we have learned that from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every son, every child of Adam alayhi salam, there will be a time that will come when he will make some mistake or he will slip up or so on, and the best of those who make mistakes are those who turn to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them for the wrongs that they have committed. And it's something that we should be doing on a regular basis, asking Allah to forgive us. And of course, Mulana, as you had mentioned, there are the benefits that come with it, that a person's, the challenges or something, difficulty that a person is facing through asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, those will be removed.
Yes, and I think one of the aspects that we have to keep, istighfar is a means of enhancing that consciousness of Allah and strengthening our relationship with Him. We turn to no one except Allah Ta'ala in repentance. We don't have the situation in the way they were you have in Christianity that there is confessions. You have to go to a bishop or you have to go to a priest to ask for confessions. We don't do that. And sometimes, unfortunately, you know, you do get this whole aspect of certain people who have occupied or feel that they have a religious authority over people, who ask people that you must make a tawbah and you must ask us for forgiveness. I'm sorry, I don't believe in that particular concept. We don't go to anyone to ask for forgiveness. And anyone who feels that people must come to him for forgiveness, he has assumed the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he has no right to assume. Allah is the only one that we go to for the sake of forgiveness. We don't go to anyone. We don't go to any organization. We don't go to anyone who claims that he is the one that people must come to him for forgiveness. We only go to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the one aspect is, what about the aspect of, you know, committing guna and sin? I mean, we know that guna and sin is wrong. But at the end of the day, we are also human beings. Now, as human beings, we are prone towards weakness, all right? And we are not born in sin. Each and every human being is born in purity. He is born free from sin. And this is a tremendous difference from what you find in other religions. There are other religions who believe that you are born in sin and someone came to die for you with regard to those sins. Now, can you imagine a person being born with a burden of sins? I mean, what a way to be born! It's not something that it is something that is a very comforting feeling. It is not something that is of confidence. You are born in sin. Can you imagine a person getting up and being born and is born with a burden of sins? Allah hasn't made it upon us. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mawlud yuladu ala fitra." Each and every child is born innocent. Every child is born innocent. So we are not born in sin. We are born in weakness, right? And this is something that we keep in mind. And Allama Iqbal has very beautifully put it this way. Darde dil ke waste peda kiya insan ko. Wat na taat ke liye kuch kam na te kurubia. You know, the aspect is that we are going to sin. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, every human being is a sinner. Right, kullu bani Adam khataun. Each and every human being is a sinner, and the only people who are free from sin are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the Malaika. Right, everyone by different degrees. People will sin more or less. The people who sin lesser, they are closer towards Almighty Allah. The Sahaba were protected from sins by and large, but they were not ma'asum. They were not innocent, and they were not free from all sins. We are more in sin. So Allama Iqbal has put it this way, that we are born in such a way that we sin and we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. If it was only for us to do obedience, if it was only for us to do obedience and not commit sins, then the angels were sufficient in Allah's creation to do that. Allah didn't need to create human being to do that. You know, so we are the one. And in Sahih Muslim, there is a hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, and we need to understand this very, very, you know, very, very importantly, what is the meaning with regard to it. The meaning of it doesn't mean that, you know, you got a license to do sin, but Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, if you do not commit sin, Allah will create someone who will commit sin. They will ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and they will repent, they will show remorse, and Allah Ta'ala will forgive them. Now, what does it mean? It means Allah has certain qualities which has to manifest. If human being doesn't do wrong and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, then how is Allah Ta'ala's qualities of Ghaffar, the one who is forgiving, the one who is merciful, the one who accepts people's repentance, how is Allah's qualities going to manifest itself if people do not commit sin? So the hadith says, if you do not commit sin, Allah will create someone else who will commit sin, and they will ask Allah for forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Don't take it in the wrong way. It doesn't mean that you must go out and commit sin. It means if you commit sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open to listen to your plea and your regret and your remorse with regard to the wrong that you have done. And this is the meaning that of istighfar.
Malala, on this program, we always love to hear from the listeners, and they can interact with us. What type of interaction should we be expecting from the listeners?
Well, how do people feel with regard to it? Because, I mean, there are many people that do feel that, no, there is no way we can ever, you know, we can ever get Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Our sins are very great. We will never be able to be, you know, forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people do have that particular type of situation. And it is something that is very, very, dangerous. Ali radiallahu anhu saw a person who was sitting despondent after he had committed sin. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala saw him in that particular way, and Allah, Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him that, you know, you're sitting despondent is even more worse than the sin that you have committed. We never ever feel despondent. And how do people feel with regard to their sin is something that we have to keep in mind. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make 70 to 100 times istighfar. And although Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have any sins, but it is in the hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar. So istighfar gives us great amount of consciousness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It removes anxieties and du'as are answered. Istighfar opened the doors of sustenance. Istighfar opened the doors of mercy. Istighfar opened the doors of knowledge. Istighfar is a great way to productivity. And istighfar relieves you. Whenever you feel sadness within you, when you are disturbed and frustrated, when anxiety surrounds you, then among the things that you should consider saying is, say astaghfirullah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if anyone constantly seek pardon from Almighty Allah, Allah will appoint for him a way out of every distress and a relief from every anxiety, and will provide sustenance for him from where he expects not.
Subhanallah. It's 9:30 on the social program with Maulana Ibrahim Abbam. The topic that we are discussing this morning, forgiveness, the solution to many evils. You can interact with us, 072-786-1548. The lines will also be open, 011-854-1548. We take a short ad break. When we come back, we will continue. The social program with Maulana Ibrahim Abbam. And this week, we are discussing the topic forgiveness, the solution to many evils. And like Maulana had mentioned earlier on in the program, there are two parts to this. One is, of course, when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him for the wrongs or the sins that he may have committed. This will remove the difficulties or challenges or whatever it is that he is facing in his life. And at the same time, when it comes to our interaction with human beings and other people, we should learn that quality of asking people to forgive us. We were busy discussing the first point, and that is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana, there's a message that has come through here saying that Jazakumullah khairan, a lovely topic that you are discussing. We need to understand that we as human beings, we don't get up every morning with the intention to commit sin, but because of certain circumstances or obstacles, this causes a person to then sin. Sins are committed through different reasons, and most of the time it is unintentional.
Yes, you know, a very interesting incident, I think, as the Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali has made mention in Fazail al-Sadaqat. And I think it's important for us just to remember, I made mention of that hadith in Sahih Muslim, and I don't want people to take the wrong impression with regard to that incident. And someone, as Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali gave this example of if a person has got a balm, you know, an ointment. A doctor, we went to a doctor, said, you know, he's a friend of yours. He gave you an ointment. He said, you know, this particular ointment, betadine or something like that, is very good when if someone burns, minor burns in your house, Allah Ta'ala always protect our children. When I hear any examples, in one or two situations I've heard that children have burned, you know, through the means of boiling water or other things, may Allah Ta'ala always protect our children.
Ameen.
And all parents, please always take necessary precautions. Even if you feel that the precautions are extreme, rather take extreme precaution, rather be safe than sorry. May Allah Ta'ala always protect all our children from any types of, you know, incidents or accidents, etc. Allah make it easy for all of us. But I'm just giving an example. There's a better deal. If something, you know, if you burn by sometimes, if there's a slight burn you get, you know, the wives and mothers when they cook, sometimes they get burned through the means of putting their hands on the stove, etc., etc. Now, what actually happens is you use it, and now someone, there's a bri in the house, and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to put my hand in the fire. See, the people say, why are you going to put your hand in the fire? I'm going to put my hand in the fire because the doctor gave me an ointment that is very good for burns. And someone will say, you stupid man, that is ridiculous. The doctor gave it. If in case you burn, then you put it. You don't now go and put your hand, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, put it in the fire and said, the doctor has given me an ointment, therefore I can put my hand in the fire. This is the meaning of what Allah Ta'ala is merciful. Doesn't mean Allah is merciful, let me go and commit guna. Adam, Allah is merciful. If perchance you commit guna, then you go and do it. If perchance you burn, you use the ointment. Not because I got an ointment the doctor gave me, let me go and put my hand in the fire. Understand that very important. But of course, we do have expectation of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Right? You know, such a great authority of Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, Sayyidul Ta'ifa, made mention that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali was giving bayans on Allah Ta'ala's mercy. For 40 years he gave bayans on Allah's mercy. For 40 years he gave bayans on Allah's mercy. Then he realized and said that people are becoming very complacent. They are not making amal on deen. They are not staying away from prohibition as they are supposed to be staying away because they feel Allah Ta'ala is merciful. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi for 3 nights in Baghdad spoke about Allah's punishment. We must all understand Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. His forgiveness is more than his punishment, but at the end of the day, he can punish. He is the one who can extract retribution. He is the one who can punish for the people for the wrong. We ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and we ask Allah Ta'ala's protection from his punishment. But Allah Ta'ala can. We don't believe in an Allah that this, as the way we say, that he can just, he's obliged to forgive. You know, if Allah is obliged to forgive, he's not all powerful. He's not obliged to forgive. He loves forgiveness. He loves forgiveness and he gives preference to forgiveness. But Allah Subhanahu wa Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "In rahmati, sabakat wifi riwayatin ghalabat ghadabi." Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "My rahmat and my mercy overwhelms my anger and my wrath." All right. Now, the whole aspect of us understanding this is, so as I said, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali made mention of Allah Ta'ala's, you know, mercy for 40 years, so the people are not listening. So he started making mention of Allah Ta'ala's azab and Allah Ta'ala's punishment. And when he spoke, because he had such great sincerity and such an impact, the people were fainting and the people were taking fainted people away from the masjid because of his bayans on Allah Ta'ala's punishment. Right? After 3 days, he saw Allah Ta'ala in a vision. Abdul Qadir, is my mercy finished in 40 years that you have to make my banda and you have to make my bondsmen so afraid of my punishment that they are fainting and they have been taken out of the masjid? Abdul Qadir, have you confined my mercy only in 40 years? Is my 40 years finished that now, you know, you have completed my mercy and forgiveness that you have to now speak about, you know, my punishment in such a way that people have become fearful? Subhanallah. That is how we look at this whole aspect with regard to we have expectation. Allah Ta'ala, why we make forgiveness? That is the main aspect of forgiveness. There are other benefits with regard to it. And then another aspect with regard to it, ulama have written with regard to this incident of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam one day was going on a particular journey. When he was going on a journey, he saw Allah Ta'ala made him pass. Allah Ta'ala used to reveal certain things to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, as the Quran has made mention. So as he was going past this one qabr, he saw that the person of the qabr was being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala revealed to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that the person was being punished. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam went on, maybe might have made a dua on his way back. He came past that same qabr, and Allah Ta'ala showed him that that person of the qabr was forgiven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was very curious, "Oh Allah, why is this that you have forgiven this person when he was being punished?" "Oh Isa, let me tell you the reason. That this person, when he died, he left his wife pregnant. The wife was pregnant, and she gave birth. And the child grew up. The child went to the madrasa. The ustad made the child read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim or invoke the mercy of Almighty Allah. And, oh Isa, I felt ashamed of punishing the parent when the small child is invoking my mercy. I felt ashamed of punishing the parent when his small child is invoking my mercy. So Isa, I forgave him." Subhanallah. Allah tells us, Allah is looking for ways and excuses to forgive us, provided we go towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. So Allah ta'ala is very Ghafoor Rahim. One of the aspects with regard to the stuff is most important that we have to keep this in mind is to have, hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do go and ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, it is something that the main aspect that we do want is hoping that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. And while we don't have any guarantee, we have expectations. Wa rahmati wasiyat kulla shay. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala says, my rahmat extends over each and everything. This is how Allah Ta'ala, ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. O you who have done wrong, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all types of sins.
That is so true, that there are so many ahadith that speak about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that even if our sins were to reach the skies, the heavens, and a person then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person and won't even matter, that Allah will just forgive this person for the sins that he has committed. You can continue to interact with us, 0727861548. That is the WhatsApp number. You can give us a call as well at 011-854-1548. Maulana, you can continue.
Yes, another aspect with regard to istighfar, which I think is very important, is that through the means of istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as. And that is why you find many a times people and ulama, they tell us that before you ask Allah ta'ala for your needs, ask Allah ta'ala to forgive your sins. Right, because istighfar is a very effective, and of course, I can go on making mention. This is something that is a very favorite topic of mine, Juana. I just love to speak about Allah Ta'ala's mercy. I feel that we have enough negativity in our discourses, which makes people despondent. And we are living in an age where we need to give people hope and not make them despair, because despair is one of the greatest guna and sins. One of the major sins in Islam is to feel an aspect of despair and frustration and despondency with regard to the mercy of Almighty Allah. Ulama have counted it as one of the major sins in Islam to be despondent of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. And it is unfortunate that people will feel, no matter how much guna you are, we're not justifying the sins, I've given examples with regard to it, but never ever become despondent of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is always available for people without us undermining guna and sin, but always keep the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. Another aspect with regard to istighfar, which has a tremendous impact, as I said, is your du'as get accepted. Now, there's a very, very interesting incident of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi is Imam Ahlul Sunnah, someone who has the greatest amount of reverence and respect amongst all scholars of Islam, no matter what their background, no matter what madhab they follow. Although we have four mazahib and we have four imams of fiqh, every one imam of fiqh is greatly revered and respected by everyone. It's not as if because you are Hanafi, you only respect Imam Abu Hanifa. You don't respect the piety of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. You don't respect the intellectual ability of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, or you don't respect the closeness to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. We respect this tremendously. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi was, throughout history, he is known as Imam Ahlul Sunnah because of the great persecution he received at the hands of an oppressive ruler. It's an incident of its own, I won't go into it. Nevertheless, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi one day went to a place, he got lost somewhere, and there was nowhere to sleep. And he went to a masjid, and at that particular masjid, he found that the doors were locked. He couldn't get in, and the caretaker didn't allow him to sleep in the masjid. Right? I think most of the masjid don't allow people to sleep. So I think it is something that maybe people grapple with it at all times. I think, personally, it will be a good thing that the masjid are open for people who are in distress, who are in a difficult situation. The difficulty comes if you do open it, then it becomes such a situation that you will not be able to manage. So I suppose that is the dilemma that many people face with regard to it. So they did not allow Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. So as he was coming outside the masjid, so across the road, there was a person who used to bake bread. So when he used to bake, he was a baker. So he saw Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, not knowing who he is, he thought that, no, man, this person is in distress. Let me go and ask him. I might be able to assist him. So he went and he told him, you are in distress. So Imam Ahmad Hanbal Rahmatullah said that this is my distress. I got nowhere to sleep. So he said, come and sleep at my place. So as he was sleeping in his place, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullah Ali noticed that he always used to say something, and his tongue and his lips were always moving. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullah Ali asked, after a while, asked him, I see your tongue is always moving. What do you do? So he said, I always read istighfar, because I heard that istighfar, through the means of istighfar, there are many, many benefits. Right? And one of the benefits is that my du'as get accepted. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullah Ali, curiously, out of curiosity, asked him that, has all your du'as, have they got accepted? So he said, yes. Allah has accepted all my du'as except one. So he said, what do you mean? You said Allah Ta'ala has accepted all your du'as except one. What is the meaning of this? So he said, see, all my du'as, whatever I have asked, you know, Allah has accepted it. Everything I asked, because someone told me that istighfar make your du'as get accepted, you know, therefore, whatever du'a I have made after istighfar has got accepted besides one. So Imam Ahmad Ahmad Rahmatullah, he said, what is a du'a? What is a du'a that you are making, and despite your istighfar, it is not getting accepted? So he said, I made du'a to Almighty Allah. I want to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He said, I made this du'a. I want to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, after he was persecuted by the ruler and he remained steadfast, and the next ruler came, he felt great remorse over the persecution that was meted out to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, gave him tremendous amount of respect. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, used to say, I'm more afraid of the respect and the great amount of gifts that are given to me by the ruler who is showing respect to me than the ruler who persecuted me. Amazing statement. But he achieved great amount of acceptance amongst people. People started loving Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So he said, I made all my du'as accepted, except this du'a, that I want to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So then he didn't know that this is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, said, this aspect of istighfar, getting your du'as accepted, is so true that never mind you going to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Allah dragged Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, into your homes because of your istighfar. Never mind you made du'a that, oh Allah, I want to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Never mind, you know, you going to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Allah dragged Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, to your home because of your istighfar. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
This is the aspect with regard to, you know, the aspect of istighfar and the power of istighfar.
We do have one or two messages that have come through. One that says that it's a picture that they've sent with a quote that never underestimate the power of asking for forgiveness. This is certainly a weapon that will bring you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and draws you closer to Him as well. We also do have a caller on the line. We'll go to line one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, we seem to have lost that caller. There is still a few minutes left on the program. 011-854-1548. That is the number to call. 072-786-1548. That is the WhatsApp number. Mulana, a few messages that have come through saying that this is a lovely program. It gives the people a lot of hope. People have made mistakes. Some of us have made mistakes. Some of us have sinned. But when we hear a program like this that speaks about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives many of us hope. Allah is the greatest. Our Creator is so merciful. Subhanallah.
Yes, I think people don't. Let me just read one or two ayats with regard to it. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah An'am, the seventh surah of the Holy Quran, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Now, Allah Ta'ala is not obliged, but Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has made upon him, I don't know how to use the word kataba, normally it will be obligatory, but Allah has made upon himself a compulsory rahmat and mercy. Right, that is in Surah An'am. وَرَبُّكُمْ ذُو رَحْمَةٍ وَاسِعَةٍ. Also in Surah An'am. Your Lord is a Lord of mercy and abundance. ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء. سورة أعراف. ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء. My rahmat extends over everything. Surah Kahf, and we read it on Friday. You might come across this particular verse. وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة. Your Allah is غفور. He is forgiving. ذو الرحمة, full of mercy. Subhanallah. What beautiful words with regard to the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can go on making mention with regard to it, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in one hadith that Allah ta'ala extends his hand of mercy and forgiveness every evening and every night to forgive the sins of people who have committed sins during the day. And Allah ta'ala extends his hands of forgiveness. Of course, we don't mean the hands, actual hands, but it means a matter of speech and a way of speech. Allah ta'ala extends his mercy every day to forgive the sins of the people who have committed sins during the night. Now, another aspect with regard to istighfar, I made mention with regard to istighfar becoming the means of, one aspect is the means of accepting of du'as. But our ulama have written, and I think it is made mention of Sufyan al-Thawri. This morning I was scratching around. I was a little late from last night. I didn't get a chance to make proper mutala, but this morning I was scratching around for that particular reference. But I do remember it. And if I'm not mistaken, it was about Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah alim. You know, that someone came to ask him one day that, what could I read with regard to Allah Ta'ala giving barakah in my risk? So Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said, go and make istighfar. So someone then came and made mention with regard to something else. You know, I don't have children. So Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said, go and read istighfar. A third or fourth person came and they asked the very same type of questions with regard to different difficulties that they were facing. Right. So when they ask all these different types of questions with regard to different difficulties, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, in all of these instances with regard to differing types of difficulties and challenges, he repeated to different types of people and different people, he repeated the aspect of saying, go and read istighfar. So when this person, the students who were around them, when they saw that he was, saying istighfar every time, sometimes, your students, they can get very, they can get very technical. Mm. They said, maybe the ustad is just fobbing the people off, He's just fobbing the people off. Everyone is asking now. He's getting tired of everyone coming to us. He's just telling them, go read istighfar. So they asked him and said, oh, Imam, everyone came. They asked different situation. One guy asked for risk. You told him istighfar. Someone said he doesn't have children. You said, go and read istighfar. Someone said, there isn't rain coming upon us. We are people of farming. And you said, go and read istighfar. On what basis you are saying that? Are you just saying it just to get the people off your back? Or is there any reason why you are saying? So he said, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran, in Surah Nuh says, istaghfiru rabbakum. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He is a ghaffar. He is the one who is forgiving. Right? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send rain down to you when you ask for istighfar. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Subhanallah. So see the beautiful aspect with regard to it, which I find so amazing. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He is ghaffar, excessive in forgiveness. Right? He's not only ghaffar, he's ghaffar. Ghaffar means an emphasis. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Then Allah has added the word Rabb with a command of istighfar, which is the equivalent of a son pleading with his father with the words, oh my father, please forgive me. إِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. So first of all, إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا, it is an extreme form of forgiveness. إِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Seek forgiveness from your Rabb, from your sustainer. It is like someone who approaches his father, oh my Abba, you are my father, forgive me. So obviously, you are my mother, forgive me. So there is an added aspect of, emphasis upon that. And then the other aspect is, there's a subtle indication that Allah wishes to forgive. Allah wouldn't have commanded us to perform istaghfiru rabbakum, seek forgiveness. Allah is commanding us. So there's subtle indication that Allah is telling us, ask me for forgiveness, I will forgive you. You know, it's like, for example, you know, this example I've heard from some of our ulama, you know, the son, the child does something wrong, but it's very small. Now, you see this with children, right? And I'm seeing this with my grandchildren. Now, all of a sudden, you see them, you know, they feeling remorse, but they don't know what to do. You know, they did something wrong, or they, you know, broke something. You told them, don't be rough. And they were rough, and they broke something, and they come in front of you, and, you know, they got that face. And someone, you know, in Gujarati, they call it chibu. You know, they're about to cry. The face is about showing they're about to cry. And now you feel empathy, you know. Now what do you tell them? Oh, all right, okay. Say sorry. Now you're telling them to say sorry. Why are you telling them to say sorry? You are telling them to say sorry because you want to forgive them. So in a similar manner, Allah is telling us, ask me for forgiveness, I will forgive you. SubhanAllah. Like how you tell a child, say sorry, I will forgive you. SubhanAllah. Anyway, istaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. Seek Allah's forgiveness because He is forgiven. You still is sama, He will send down rain upon you. So, وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِي وَبَنِينَ He will help you with wealth and with children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا He will give you gardens and He will give you streams. So Imam Sufyani Thawri Rahmatullah Alayhi told his students, don't think that I am only telling people istighfar when they coming to me and asking me for children or abundance of risk, or they don't have jobs, or they want the gardens, or they want prosperity. I'm just telling them, make istighfar just to get them off my back. No. There is a Quranic ayat which tells us that istighfar, together with having your sins forgiveness, for having your sins forgiven, has got all these amazing qualities and benefits. And may Allah Ta'ala make us among those who read them, you know, istighfar, constantly asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. You know, an amazing thing is, if you can, there are different, it's very beautiful to read different phrases asking Allah Ta'ala to forgive you. You know, the thing is, you know, sometimes when you have done something wrong, then you find different ways. The person whom you have wronged, you try to now, you know, you try to win him over. So you try to get him to show compassion towards you. And you use different strategies. Maybe you write him a letter of apology. You send him a nice WhatsApp message. Or you show him and you give him a gift. So even we, when we do ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, we should try and, you know, spread our words of forgiveness. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Allahumma khfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu wa ma alantu wa ma asraftu wa ma asraftu wa ma anta alamu bihi minni. There are books that I've seen, small books and pamphlets, which only give the different phrases of istighfar and forgiveness. Allahumma khfir lahu dhil kullahu dhikkahu dhikkahu wa jillahu wa huwa lahu wa akhirahu wa alaniyatahu wa sirri. Or otherwise, Sayyidul Istighfar. Sayyidul Istighfar, I think everyone, and maybe I can become the means of my goodness, and these are very commonly found in the dua books. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala adika wa adika mastata'at. Everyone must try and make an habit and put it in his daily ritual and practices to read Sayyidul Istighfar. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the greatest istighfar is to read Sayyidul Istighfar. And that is also made mention in the books of du'as. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those who constantly ask Allah for forgiveness, and may all the benefits that come with regard to istighfar, inshallah, they must come into it, inshallah. I see one or two, from my side, people have sent messages asking for a podcast of today's program. Inshallah, we will try and get that. And whoever wants it can send me a message. I will make it available inshallah. After the podcast is available. Jazakumullah.
Inshallah, it will be available. Shortly or after the program, we will have that podcast ready and it will be circulated on our different
apps. I'm sure there must have been some messages that came in, but I don't know if we will be... well, there will be time to read those messages maybe next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Ma, we'll continue with it next week. I see there's one or two that have asked what is the best form of istighfar. But Mulana had mentioned there that everybody should learn Sayyidul Istighfar, which is one of the best forms of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. It's found commonly in many of the dua books that you have. You would be able to locate it and find it and read it from there. Mulana, we've come to the end of the program this morning. Jazakumullah khair and so much for joining us this morning. Inshallah, we will speak to Mulana next week.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With that, we come to the end of the social program this morning. It's now time for the 10 a.m. news bulletin. Until next time, from myself, Ibrahim Daya, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.